Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
Greetings once more to Reckless Attack. Is that how words work? I don't think so. Let me say that again. Greetings once more. No? That's how do you start that? How do you trans? Is it too? It's not too Reckless Attack. Why does that sound so weird to me?
Have we said it too many times and now it sounds like nothing?
Greetings once again and welcome to.
Welcome
I think
to.
Okay. Welcome to.
We're struggling today, you guys.
Welcome to Reckless Attack, a 5th edition Dungeons & Dragons, a 5th edition Dungeons & Dragons actual play podcast. All right, I guess it's all staying in now because I'm not saying any of that ever again.
Well, I mean, you know, I understand we've only done this 120 times.
I was on a real good stretch for about 50 episodes there, and now apparently it's all gone from my brain. And whose brain are we referring to? Why, me, of course, GM Nathan, joined around the table by the excellent players, as per usual, here at Reckless Attack. Hey, dear players, could you please take a moment and introduce yourselves to our dear, dear listeners, starting across the table from me with...
Hello, everyone. I'm David, and I usually play Kaskrin Brightmane, the Dwarven Sorlock. But today, I am playing... some weird guys again.
I am playing tabletop game.
TBD.
I am playing Dungeons and Dragons, everyone.
Are you?
I don't know, actually. Yeah, I actually don't know. And to my right.
Hi, everyone. I'm Jonathan. And usually I play Checkers, the Grung Druid, and Stressy Frog Pals, Mango and Junior. But just give me a second to get into character as Kimberly, the recently poisoned lizard folk. I'm dying.
Well, that was a little checkersy.
That's bad.
Yep, it was pretty checkersy. We warned Jonathan. He's like, yes, you can make gurgling noise, but just it has to be distinct from checkers. I don't know if you cleared the bar, Jonathan.
Okay.
We'll have to circle back to you.
All right, very good.
You can expect a call from my lawyers.
And to my right.
Hi, everyone. I'm Sophie, and I normally play Valeska Carter, the human asterisk, cleric asterisk of the Arcana domain. That's what it is.
It gets me every time, and it's like my brain always short circuits. It's like, wait, no, she already said, I remember now.
When do we get of the Arcana domain asterisk?
Level 3?
Well, technically, it's a homebrew. Right? You mush together like two different domains, so it should technically
have... I mostly just
like
picked out the spells that I didn't want.
Okay. It's a silent asterisk,
I guess is what we'll go with.
Yeah. And today I will be playing Sawbone! I can't do the voice, it's like already killed. I need to like really
smoke some
cigarettes to get into the Sawbone voice.
Or Henry Smith, M.D.
M.D., yeah. And the Bonettes.
So you're also playing all of the Bonettes. We will lock you into mob of individuals. Great. You've heard it here first, folks.
Yeah. And across the table for me.
Hi, everyone. My name is Steve, and I will be playing
Sylvesterlin, the Dragonborn Monk,
who at this particular time is in the middle of a tournament, but his opponent is not feeling so well.
No, we find Selv in a bit of pandemonium, because after a very impressive fight with the aforementioned lizard folk Kimberly, they actually conceded to Selv, just saying, hey, I don't think I'm in a good position to win, and also, my tummy kind of hurts. Selv, great job, friend, looking forward to hanging out afterwards, etc., etc., because then they just doubled over and collapsed. Immediately from their mouth, this strange purple-reddish foam began pouring from their mouth, purple tears running from their face, and all sorts of sputtering, seizing noises began. Gasps and screams and even the small trickling of accusations started pouring in from the crowd as, luckily, right on the ringside was an experienced emergency medic in Sawbone and the Bonettes, the whole emergency response team that they provided, rushed on, but everyone is still reacting. We are picking up in that moment as Selv and Sawbone and the Bonettes.
Bonettes, all of which are registered nurses.
Yes, exactly.
All RNs, everyone.
All RNs and providing important care are the bulwark of our healthcare system.
And I want to add a little bit of color to this too, because I'm imagining this tournament is, like the abbot said, sacred. For someone to be poisoned and bleeding purple from their mouth and eyes and nose right after a friendly match is anathema.
Yeah.
And the competitors and the audience know it. And so I'm imagining, too, there are gasps and cries followed by boos and jeers. And then suddenly, like, someone throws something, you know? And so some of the rest of the crowd begin picking this up. And I'm imagining, like, Henry and the Bonettes are, like, trying to reach Kimberly as, like, people are just, like, throwing stuff they had in their pockets.
Like, things are being thrown on. It doesn't even matter what it is. It is just things are being thrown into the arena. And jeers are ringing out. And actually, to kind of build on that, I'm imagining probably even some of the other fighters are starting to react. Some maybe are just trying to back away and assess the situation. Others are maybe trying to, like, calm the crowd down a little bit. And others are actually moving a little bit towards Selv in this moment. And Selv, you are there. You are bent over Kimberly, who you've had multiple conversations with, even on the road here. You knew that they were feeling ill for several days, really since you first started talking to them on the road here. But it certainly didn't seem anything like this. And now you are looking at a dying mortal right in front of you and watching Sawbone apply emergency medicine. And you start to feel hands on you, multiple hands, who start kind of putting them on your shoulders, on your back, and even one or two start kind of grabbing at your shirt.
Do I get the impression they are going to enact some kind of justice?
Roll me an insight check. Because right now, there's booze, and there's stuff raining down, and there's maybe someone dead or dying right next to you.
Natural 20. For a total of 26.
Most of them are just restraining you. One, you can tell, you see out of the corner of your eye, is rearing back for a punch that there is no way that you are going to block. You feel a little crack in your rib as it hits. And this person brings back another fist to just kind of keep going at you and just keep giving you body shots to make sure you don't leave. When from behind this individual, a huge gout of flame fires up behind them. And you can feel the heat. It is like a pyrotechnic level of huge flame and huge amount of heat just washing over everybody. This person kind of steps out of the way, this big burly fighter, startled out of whatever mood they were in. And you see the abbot and Kavos both standing, and you can see the abbot is still holding a huge ball of fire in her hand. And she is looking at all of the people surrounding you, Selv, daring them, willing them to step away from you. And you see the piercing eyes of Kavos Pyrelighter, the red dragonborn, your fellow, or your peer in adventuring, I suppose.
My acquaintance.
Yes, your frenemy, glaring straight into you. You hear the abbot's voice kind of ring around the arena, and she says, "Silence." And she says it not necessarily just to you, but to everything. She says, "Medics, attend to this. Guards, ensure the crowd stays in their seats until we sort this out. Kavos, please assist me in escorting Astralyn out of here." And actually, two more monks kind of step right behind her and kind of move with Kavos to come towards yourself.
I'll actually start walking over there before they get to me.
Yep, understood. The two monks step on either side of you as Kavos grabs you roughly at the almost like the scruff of the neck of your gi and just kind of like marches you forward towards the abbot. And you just hear him kind of growling at you. Make a move, Astralin, I dare you. This group starts kind of marching you off the arena as, again, things have calmed down a little bit, but there is still an amount of like jeering and just kind of like murmuring happening as people are still reacting to this suddenness. And you can see one of the last things that you see, Selv, before you go back through that entryway with that kind of ornate carved dragon tunnel, basically, is you see the continued efforts to save Kimberly's life still on the side of the arena. Selv, really quick, what is your passive perception? I'm going back to Dungeons and Dragons statistics for a moment.
16.
Selv, as you're kind of being dragon handled, I guess, and kind of your gi is being kind of just roughhoused forward and just shoved. Kavos is not exactly like, he's not marching you. He's kind of like shoving you, letting you catch your feet, and then shoving you again to move you forward. You realize that there is something in one of the pockets of your gi that was not there before, that you did not walk into this arena with.
And I am currently tied or manacled or...
Yeah, we'll say that your claws are manacled and kind of out in front of you.
Okay.
So, Selv, you are marched through the abbey, and you pass a good number of people who look very confused at the scene that is before them. But eventually, you realize that you're on a familiar route, headed back, actually, to the small, you know, kind of monastery chapel that the abbot makes her office. You pass that almost miraculous charcoal tree. You are marched up the stairs and brought once again to the abbot's office, where you were really just a handful of hours ago. The abbot sits down at her desk, and Kavos is still standing right behind you, his claws digging into your gi and maybe a little bit of your neck every once in a while, quote unquote, as an accident. And the abbot turns her eyes to the other guards who are there, and she says, ensure we are not disturbed. And they just nod and file out. Kavos, standing behind you, just kind of like pushes you and shakes you and just says, speak, Astralin, what have you done?
I suppose that saying I didn't do anything wouldn't persuade you, if I may.
And I will hold up the manacles and kind of go towards my pocket.
He absolutely jostles you so you can't reach into your pocket to grab something.
I am going to accidentally step on his foot.
You hear a cry, be like, and the abbot just like holds a hand up, doesn't even say anything, and Kavos like sees it and just actually releases his hand on your gi a little bit. And she says, Self, look directly at me and answer truthfully. Do you know anything about what happened?
No, but something was slipped into my pocket while I was being dragon-handled near where Kimberly fell.
And I'll just kind of like glance down to whatever right-hand pocket, whatever this thing is.
On the road, Kimberly had mentioned that they were not feeling very well. I suspect that whatever this was may have started on the road here.
The abbot looks at Kavos still over your shoulder and kind of gestures down to the pocket that you pointed them towards. And he stands in front of you, kind of throws your gi open very disrespectfully and reaches down and feels around. And eventually produces, just holding very gingerly in his big meaty claws, a very thin, empty vial. He says, "This doesn't mean anything. He could have still been there from the poisoning."
I'll turn to Kavos, and I'll just say,
"In everything you have ever heard about me, do you think I would stoop to poisoning somebody in an honorable tournament?"
He glares at you for like the classic 80s action rival amount of time.
Yeah. The zoom in on my face, zoom in on his face, closer in on my face, closer in on his face.
Exactly.
My eyes, his eyes.
And then a final squint, and he turns around. He says, "No, I suppose not."
Got him.
But there is a first time for everything. And the abbot just kind of looks at you again and nods. And she says, "No, that was not my impression of you or your order as well. While I have no immediate clues, I certainly can't help but wonder if this was connected to the matter that we discussed previously. We have held this tournament many times, and this has never been an issue before. There's certainly a first time for everything. The world is ever changing, and the mortals within it turning to less honorable ways. But things are precarious, and it is best not to trust coincidence in all matters. There is an interesting path forward here. One that is a difficult one for me to suggest, but I think could be efficient in achieving, hopefully, our shared goals. First and foremost, of course, being ensuring the protection of the dragon's egg hidden here, and also the shared interest of ensuring that we catch the actual poisoner and potential murderer. If we, and by we I largely mean you, cannot prove that you were not the administrator of this poison, then I must act. I must punish you, even if I truly believe that you didn't do it. That is simply not how things are handled here at this abbey.
So if I wasn't motivated before, I am motivated now.
I should hope so. I can offer you some small amount of leniency. In order to help you, I am going to arrest you. If you were to, say, escape, that should give you some amount of time to move about the abbey. But time is short, Mr. Astralin, and whatever it is that you would like to do unseen, I suggest doing so quickly.
I understand. Luckily, I have been trained to do things quickly and efficiently.
If you attract too much attention to yourself, there must be additional consequences, you understand. But for the time being, perhaps we can turn this chaos to our own advantage. The abbot looks at Kavos, who is seething. Just, you can feel the radiating fury and frustration coming from him. And the abbot says, "Kavos, please take yourself and others that you trust, that we trust, to ensure that Mr. Astralin is taken care of." And Kavos just grunts, "Yes." And he steps towards the door, does not drag you this time. And says,
I was going to say, I kind of want to be like,
"I've got this."
And I grab myself by my own scruff of the neck and start walking.
Self, read the room. I don't know if
that's
for physical comedy.
Right.
I mean, goober self. It's very canon. And he just says, "Follow." And you just see the abbot just look at you as you leave the room, and you hear a voice just say, "Best of luck." You are brought to a section of the abbey that you have not been before, and a huge oaken door is swung open. There are already several members of the abbey who are already stationed there, and you are led down into darkness. You can see there's already, you know, kind of a handful of drunk tank level cells that are here, but are still very well made, and each of the bars is made of obsidian and therefore have razor edges on them. As you reach the very far end, the door that you entered closes and darkness fills the room. Only a couple of torches light this otherwise empty space. And Kavos looks at you, Selv, glares, and without moving his eyes, holds his clawed hand out to one of the other monks who's next to him and says, "You, robe, now." And dutifully and confusedly, this person takes their kind of like distinguished red robe off and hands it over to him. And Kavos chucks it at your chest and says, "Put this on, you." And he looks at the unfortunately unrobed individual.
"I think I see where this is going."
"In the cell." This monk dutifully walks into the cell and sits down and looks at you, Selv, as you presumably...
I will take off my robe and give that to them.
And with that, Kavos, with a practiced hand, slams this very sharp obsidian door shut, locks in the other monk, and immediately is like, "All right, follow me." And starts immediately marching out.
I will, just for the briefest of second, look back, and I will bow at the unfortunate monk who has taken my place, and I will say,
"I will be back."
You guys emerge. You walk past the existing guards into enough of a private space, and he leans in towards you, and Kavos says, "Fix this, Astralin, or I will fix it."
Selv looks a little confused because in his mind, I mean, if you can fix it, then why am I here?
He sees you fix it by kicking your ass. Go figure it out.
Understood.
And he just like immediately, as soon as he says it, he just like walks off in a second direction from the other guard and leaves you kind of to your own devices.
Okay.
As you are exiting, you actually hear the hubbub of the crowd back in the arena, and you can hear the voice of the abbot ring out, and she says, "We have currently detained Selv Astralin. The investigation is ongoing. We are pleased to report that Kimberly is being attended to, but for the time being, those who wish to fight, let us fight."
And now, a word from our sponsor.
Hello, this is your pilot speaking. I would like to welcome you to Reckless Airlines. Our total flight time for this episode is approximately 1 hour, and we will be cruising at an altitude of 2,000 frog stacks. In a little bit, the flight attendants will be by with complimentary clips and excerpts from previous Reckless Attack episodes. We know you have a lot of choices when it comes to 5th edition Dungeons & Dragons actual play podcasts, and we would like to thank you for choosing ours. If you enjoyed your experience during today's episode, please be sure to fill out the in-flight survey and leave us a rating or review, or tell a friend. Book your next flight with us at www.recklessattack.com, and thank you for listening.
How we're going to run this particular investigation is, Selv, you'll certainly be driving it, but we're going to be working together as a group to kind of figure out where Selv goes and what he has to do to obtain some various clues that may point him in the right direction. And we're just going to do some collaborative storytelling. Look at us go, playing tabletop role-playing games, thusly. So, just to start us off, usually this is where I'd ask, hey, Sylv, what would you like to do? But we've talked a little bit about this already, so I'll ask, hey, David, what does Sylv want to do?
Yeah.
Or what does...
Well, I've never been in this position of telling Sylv what his character does before.
Mm-hmm.
So, Sylv, you are disguised, and you're piecing together...
Remember, we're friends, David.
Yes. You decide to jump off into a lake of lava.
It's me, Steve, yeah. Your friend.
But you're clearly insightful, and you know the timeline, that Kimberly was not feeling great all the way in the beginning when you were first traveling. And so that's where you decide to start. You head out of the immediate building and you see a circle of wagons that seems to hold all of the different caravans of all the different groups that were brought here for holding. And there are guards kind of patrolling the area back and forth. You can tell that there are maybe 20 distinct caravans, and you know exactly which one yours is. But you can see that in front of that one in particular, there's a set of three guards that are carefully watching for any suspected intrusion. You think that you have to get into that caravan. There might be a clue of some kind in there, something to clear your name, but it's clearly guarded.
Are those guards, are they just standing in a single spot, or do they seem to be patrolling?
They seem to be patrolling.
I would like to try to use the other wagons and caravans as cover, so Ooh. That if there is a, while they're moving around, if there is a blind spot, that I could then just kind of make a dash to the wagon and either roll underneath it or get inside of it to be hidden then.
Okay. So you are hiding behind a wagon, looking at the patrol paths for these guards. Give me an insight roll.
10.
Ooh, that is not enough to make a clean entrance.
No.
What I will do, and maybe this will help me out a little bit, is if I could use... How's the ground? Like, it's probably dry.
Yeah,
Is it dusty, or is it basically just solid earth?
I would say it's pretty solid with some dirt, some rock. You are on a mountain.
Right. So I'm going to wait until there is a little bit of a breeze, and I'm actually going to use gust to kick up some dirt and debris on the ground and just give myself a little bit of cover
okay.
for when I actually make the dash to the wagon.
Yeah, perfect. So you would hear like those guards who you're trying to just fully sneak past kind of react and be like, wait a second, what was that? You know, just catches just a hint of like, that's weird. They don't see you, but they notice that something happened. Interesting. That is one failure on this challenge of skills that you have accumulated, Sylv.
Sylv, you kick up this storm of dust, and you can see the guards are rushing in a different direction to investigate, and you've bought yourself a little bit of breathing room. But you know, suspicion has been raised. As you duck under one of the wagons to get some cover, you do notice that there are some odd drawings under one of the wagons in your caravan. It's the faintest thing, but since you're directly underneath it, you notice that these seem to be magical carvings of some kind, drawn into the wood. Just at a glance, you don't know exactly what these runes would do, but you can tell it seems like whatever this is a getaway vehicle.
Working under the assumption that this person wants to get in and out without being seen, is there any kind of trapdoor or anything underneath the wagon that would allow them to get in and out without going out like the front door, right?
I'm rolling. There is a trapdoor, actually,
as you are
poking around. You can see, actually, there is specifically around this rune. And it actually, as you're kind of tracing your claws around it, you realize there's a hinge and it opens up into it. So, Sylv, you are able to identify and find and then presumably shimmy up into this trap door.
Okay, and I will do that. And then once I get in, I'm just going to stop and listen and just make sure there's nobody shouting any kind of alarms from outside.
So far, no.
You make your way inside of this wagon. And for all intents and purposes, it looks like any of the other wagons that you've seen in here. There's a few sleeping rolls, there's some bags for belongings, there's boxes for cargo and food and other things that people would need on these kinds of trips. Through some searching, you do manage to find something that is a little out of place. In that, in one of the boxes of cargo, there is another smaller box. And this box is different because, unlike the other boxes, this one is actually marked with a logo of some kind. What you see sort of stamped on the top of the box is a pyramid with some kind of insectoid face on the front of it. And this is where I'm going to ask Selv to make me a history roll.
Ooh.
To see if he can recognize or identify this logo.
15. Oh, I am at 14 on the die with a plus one in history.
That is a success.
So
I'll take it.
That is what you needed, which is interesting. So you would...
because now I have it.
Every single person at the table immediately is like,
now I got to come up with something.
So you would recognize this as the emblem of the Pharaohs, which is an organization in a desert reasonably far from here. They are known for being a collection of insectoid creatures that specialize in alchemy and poisons.
Does this box seem small enough that I can take it as proof?
It does. And you would also know, just even at a glance, it's locked.
I guess if this is something that they want to keep secret, I'm going to take a look for any kind of traps around it.
Seems like a perception roll to me.
Yeah, I'm going to add this to our skill challenge. You have one failure, one success, and let's see a perception roll to see if there are any traps around this box.
Okay. 16.
Okay, yes. What I will say, Selv, is you do recognize this is trapped. You have two successes now and one failure on your skill challenge.
Question then being, how does this box open? Is it just like a chest thing where you undo the lock and then the lid lifts up?
Yeah.
Or does the lid come fully off? Or
basically, it looks like a hinged box.
Okay. In that case, what I will do is turn the box around inside the other box so the lock is actually away from me.
Sure.
And push it up against the side of the box. And then maybe I'll just remove the hinges.
What I'm hearing is a sleight of hand check. And you've got a pretty clever way of going about this one. So I'll give you an advantage on this roll.
Okay.
I'll give you double advantage.
I like David. Does anybody have a better offer? Triple advantage? Triple advantage?
Inspiration. Why not?
Yeah.
Okay. Then I'll try to kind of use a dagger or one of my shuriken and just kind of like undo the hinges of this box and see what happens. So you said sleight of hand?
Yes.
Okay. 23
nice.
For sleight of hand.
You've spent barely any time inside this wagon. You entered, you searched around, you looked at some cargo, then you found this box, saw that it was trapped, and just immediately managed to disarm the trap. And what you find inside this box are three other vials that are shaped similarly to what you found inside your pocket, but these are full.
Can I take the full box?
You can.
Okay, I will take the box along with the emblem on top, make sure that's on there, and the vials inside, and we will slip that into a safe part of these robes that I'm wearing. A
lot of pockets in this robe. Yeah. It's actually very impressive.
Further incriminating cells.
Yes.
Poisoner.
And then I will try to then get out the same way I got in. So I will wait for my little gap with the guards and then roll out and make my way casually, you know, walking casually towards the medical tent, and we'll go visit Henry, air quotes, Sawbone, and see if they are able to, number one, identify what it is, and number two, maybe that will help with an antidote for Kimberly.
I will ask, is Saba, or is Henry, would Henry still be there, do you think?
Henry has a critical patient, would not be leaving.
That's true. Medical ethics, you have to stay with the patient for an extended period of time to ensure continuity of care.
The medical tent is set up that, like, they don't have to leave necessarily. I feel like Sawbone was just like, yeah, you can do this from the abbot of, like, sure.
Sure, we could always use another pair of hands. Okay, so you approach the medical tent, but it's pretty busy. Things have presumably died down a little bit, but there's still a lot of coming and going. A lot of, you know, the abbey equivalent of orderlies going in and out. But you can still certainly hear the booming, if not raging, voice of Dr. Henry, M.D. Henry, did we determine an official canon last name, Sophie?
I think somebody said Smith.
I said Smith,
yes. Just, well, Smith works.
Dr. Henry Sawbone Smith, M.D.
Yes, exactly. Currently, Henry, the doctor, and not the feared combatant that you also know him to be.
I am going to... I know what I want to do, but I also know it is not a great skill for me. What I'm going to do is make sure the hood of the robes are up and over, you know, any real identifying facial features, except for maybe my snout.
Well, this is a dragonborn hood, so presumably it has kind of the clearance to, like, really pull it over.
Gotcha.
For dramatic shadowy effect.
Excellent,
necessary.
Excellent. That is what I need. And I will wait for there to be an opening where it's a little less hectic, maybe not as many people around, and then I will move towards one of the Bonettes, whoever happens to be closest.
Susie Bonette.
She is like an ancient looking woman, and you cannot tell at first glance how with it she is. Like, is she paying attention? There's a lot of chaos going around. She seems unbothered. Can she not hear the chaos? Can she not see the chaos?
Has she
Unclear.
Seen too much of the chaos and is therefore, like, you know,
yeah,
immune to it?
I would also like to do a quick retcon immediately, because I realized that this character's name informally is Susie Bonette, but is actually full title, which would be the preferred nomenclature, would be Suzette Bonette RN.
Of course.
I think this is Dr. Nurse.
Okay, yes. APRN.
Nurse Doctor? Dr. Nurse.
Dr. Nurse.
Suzette Bonette.
So, hood up, Selv just steps slowly inside the tent and says, in a voice that he is attempting to timber to be not quite his own.
Yep, understood.
Excuse me. This was found. It could be the poison used. It must be identified, and perhaps an antidote made.
And then I will step back and bow and hold one of the vials out.
Would you like to play Suzette Bonette, or do
yes,
you like me to play?
Okay,
I don't want to hoist it on you, but already you had such a clear vision of the character that I'm eager to see where this goes.
Mm-hmm. The downside is that I don't have a plethora of voices to call upon.
That's quite all right. Just be old and or vacant.
Back in my day.
No, see, because Suzette Bonette actually is quite spry for her age and reaches out to grab your wrist. And says, where did you find these? While pulling you towards the back, where there is a larger group of Bonettes, several workstations, and where Henry Sawbone MD is.
Could I suggest a small canon that this is a very, very, very old halfling?
Yes.
Excellent. Very small old lady is pulling Selv to the tent.
Like, you have to be, like, doubled over that she is pulling you at her height, walking through this tent.
And before we proceed, this really feels to me like another skill roll of some sort, Selv.
It does, doesn't it?
Were you aiming for maybe a performance?
That was my initial gut reaction and why I was wincing to myself, because his performance not so good. But having been around checkers and kind of like the big drama person checkers is, and just going for opposite that.
And, you know, you are wearing the appropriate garb. You know, I liked your descriptions of taking care to change your voice, to kind of alter the way that you are carrying yourself, that sort of stuff. I will, once again, be a very benevolent GM, grant you advantage, because this is delightful.
I thank you very, very much.
And I'd rather self-play dress up for fun than be like, well, I guess I'm just using stealth over and over. So I reward this behavior.
So I have a 0 bonus for performance, but that only gets me to a 14.
No!
So you are very close, unless you had a particular way that you wanted to react.
I changed none of my previous actions, but we'll loop this in moving forward.
Excellent. So you feel like you almost pull it off, but, you know, there's an aura about this place. So you're not... Maybe you didn't. Maybe someone can see through. Maybe your snout wasn't quite all the way hidden by your hood. You're just kind of in a little bit of uncertainty in this exact moment. Where is Suzette Bonnet, APRN, dragging self to? Like, what is this group of individuals and workstations?
Yeah, so you pass by, like, the kind of minor injuries, like some sprains. Clearly, like, people who have just come from a fight.
Sure, and sure. The typical
arena friendly stuff. Match got a little too overzealous, and you walk through those beds, and to the back you see like 2 lab setups that, you know, the medicinal herb smell kind of hits you right away. It smells a little bit like Etrus's aura of the shed, but in a way that has less fire.
Yeah, a little less carbon in the air.
Okay.
No whiffs of ozone. That's
so not an immediate, like, nose-burning type of thing.
Yeah. More like VapoRub.
Gotcha.
And Suzette marches you into the back corner, and you can kind of see there's, like, a break room. It's a little bit secluded from the other area. And you see Henry sitting down with a couple other bonnets. They all kind of perk up or, like, become more alert as Suzette enters. You can tell she is a woman of presence. And as Suzette walks into this kind of separate tent, you hear her quiet yet caring voice say, "Henry, the monk is here. He seems to have found something." And you immediately know she knows exactly who you are and brought you to the back anyway.
So I will continue with my head down and bowed with the vial out in my hands as I was trying to do previously.
"This was sent by orders of the abbot. I must return to my duties."
Amongst this group, a very tall, spindly, I'll say a Goliath, actually, steps forward, and she turns, also wearing a full lab coat. I think, I don't know if we've established, but I feel like canonically, they all also have their sleeves just, like, ripped off, even though it's not technically, you know, medically sound, but, like...
Well, they have like, the surgical, old-timey surgical sleeves they pull up.
Yes, exactly.
So, they like, their shoulders are exposed.
Very long gloves, yeah. But their shoulders are exposed, and that is the
and
case...
And all of them are ripped.
They gotta be.
Exceptionally ripped. They walk the walk as far as, like, you know, you have to lead a healthy lifestyle, and they are committed to that lifestyle. And this very tall individual just says... Oh, the monk. Yes. Hello. Good to meet you. My name is Yvette Bonnet. I'm the toxicologist here of the Bonnets. Where did you say that you found this? What information can you give us? We're at a very critical time in our treatment of the patient. So the faster you can give us the information, the faster that we can assist them and also ensure that you are able to go about your day. She says, kind of looking at Suzette as in, like, want to get him out of here, right?
I mean, we don't want to keep him, but he could be a murderer.
Something Hippocratic Oath. What can you do for us?
Still keeping in
the voice,
the self,
the timbre.
The alternate self character, just in case somebody else is listening.
This is a sample of the poison that might have been used against Kimberly. It must be tested, but I must return. I have other things that must be done.
Yvette Bunnett, the toxicologist, grabs these vials and immediately is like, behind, all right, everybody, we have some potentially sensitive materials. Lizette, Annette, you guys are with me. I need you to grab as many tubes of test tubes that you can. Claudette, can you please just get some IVs set up? We may need to do some transfusions quick. Thank you very much.
Just before that, if it's okay, I would like to do the Batman thing.
Absolutely.
And just not be there.
Suzette just like pulls aside the tent and looks away from you.
pointedly looks in another direction for you to disappear at your leisure.
Then I will, I will right out the tent.
Selv, as you are making your very surreptitious getaway, you again hearing the activity of Henry and the Bonettes coming to a city near you sometime in their fall tour, you hear some commotion ringing from a distance away that is coming closer, and you hear voices calling out, "Help! Help! Another one!" Selv, you see a group of fighters, of members of the monastery, and some others carrying a body. And as they approach, they're calling out to the medical tent. You can see that this body is clothed in the robes of a guard of the monastery. And they are also foaming at the mouth with a mix of red and purple, and you see purple tears running down their face.
Now I'm thinking the caravan was the test to make sure the stuff worked.
Well, we'll have to answer questions and theories and such like that on our next episode of Reckless Attack. See you next time, everyone.
Da-da-da!
Goodbye!
Bye!
Wine.
Amongst this group, a very tall, spindly, I'll say a Goliath actually steps forward and
Lizette Bonnet?
Not yet.
not yet, Lizette Bonnet?
That's Yvette Bonnet?
Well, okay. Those are unfortunately.
No,
they're both. I like both of them better.
I literally, when I thought of the Bonettes, I was like, how many bone names sound like names? I was like, Olna?
No.
There could be an Olna in there.
No, these are mine was good. I like these better, unfortunately.
Could we call somebody Tibby? Short for Tibia?
Yeah.
we'll get to the radiology department.
Tibet. It would be Tibet Bonette.